Women's health needs, and especially our hormonal needs, are finally receiving the attention we've deserved for years. And Hormone Harmony, a new sponsor of SelfWork, rates as one of the top five hormonal supplement companies out there. If you're a young woman struggling with that week before your period when moods can be all over the place, and I certainly don't miss that, or older when you're so glad menopause is here, but if you're like me, you sometimes stare at yourself in the mirror and ask, where did I go? Hormone Harmony has become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Basically, if you breathe in and out slowly twice, that's the amount of time it takes for one more woman to understand she can reach out for help, no matter what her age, through Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. Hello and welcome to SELFWORK. This is SELFWORK's YGTG, or You Get the Gist. A little 5-minute intro to a topic that I found interesting. Today I'm sharing the work of Stacy Wright, a psychotherapist in Georgia whose work is frequently featured on The Mighty, which is an incredible website, or as they say, a digital health community, for anyone who wants information and support on medical and mental illnesses, both common and rare. It was actually founded by Mike Parath, who found himself with a child who suffered from a more rare disease, and he could find very little information or support for them. It has now over 2 million registered users, and they actually have a new podcast, which I will have the link to in the show notes. It's called The Mighty. But back to Stacy Wright. She specializes in the treatment of highly sensitive people and writes about it. These are her ideas. I'm learning along with you on this topic. What I wanted in this special YGTG is a distinction between highly sensitive people and empaths, and do empaths actually exist? There's some controversy. Stacy tells us, highly sensitive people are individuals more attuned to the subtleties of the environment, whose brains process and reflect on information more deeply, are often socially inhibited by nature, and prefer their own rich inner world to the external world. In fact, they're likely to experience overstimulation or overarousal of the nervous system because they take in more. So she says empaths are also likely to be highly sensitive and especially gifted in depth of processing. They're attuned to the emotions of others, often feeling a sixth sense for unspoken dynamics in a group or between people. Or even they feel an intense feeling or sadness or fear and have no idea where it came from, only later to find out that something had indeed happened to someone they care about. But does introversion or shyness fit in anywhere? Stacy says about 70% of highly sensitive people are introverts or are people who need to be alone to re-energize and can feel sucked under by the energy of others. I love this example she gave. It's so clear. Imagine yourself as a young child at a new school being walked into the classroom at the start of the day. There may be an element of shyness, which is fear of judgment by others, but imagine also the noise, the sights, the playful chaos. All of this sensory input is received by the brain. An empath will be more sensitive to the emotions of others in the room, whereas the highly sensitive person will be more quickly overstimulated, leading to slower sensory processing and greater difficulty in connecting with others in the moment. But guess what? There is definitely controversy out there about whether empaths are an appropriate label in and of themselves. In fact, Rick Cormier, a retired psychotherapist and author of the book Mixed Nuts, which seems to be a fairly irreverent but educational book about therapy, is one of those who state quite strongly that empath is a term taken from sci-fi, Star Trek to be exact, and now it's being made into a classification of its own. The Oxford definition of empath, used as a noun, says it's chiefly used in science fiction. A person with a paranormal ability to apprehend the mental or emotional state of another. Rick wants you to know chiefly in science fiction. And he says, and I'm quoting, "Now let's talk reality. Empathy is a human quality that was not manufactured by a science fiction writer. Like most human qualities, each of us has it in varying degrees. Some people are very empathetic and some not very empathetic. And most of us fall on a scale somewhere in between." And he says, it's a silly label. At what point does an empathetic person become an empath? If that person meets someone he or she doesn't like and feels no empathy for, are they no longer an empath from that day forward? Who decides? And he says, even Gene Roddenberry would have a laugh over how his term is being used. But whatever you believe, you can make up your own mind if empaths actually exist. You may have children who are highly sensitive, and maybe this will help you understand them, but certainly know that there are people out there who are highly empathetic, and sometimes that can be a strength, and then sometimes that can be troubling. But now, I hope you get the gist. I want to thank Stacy Wright very much. I definitely recommend her work, and I'll have links in the show notes to her blog and her latest article on the Mighty. And also Judith Orloff's newest book on thriving as an empath. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.